you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
We're reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 10th, 2026. Oh, listening friend, I hope you feel prayed up and encouraged and blessed. I don't know how your Resurrection Sunday turned out. Hopefully you were able to invite a friend, maybe even led them to the Lord or saw God plant some seeds in their life and they have questions and you're going to do some great follow-up and get them connected to reading the scriptures each day or maybe attending a Bible study. But it's a glorious time to be alive, and wow, I hope your Resurrection Sunday, and actually all Holy Week. I know Maundy Thursday's kind of a tough day to get through, and then we have Good Friday, a lot of introspection and consideration and thinking through and recognizing the great price that Jesus paid on the cross, suffered for us, died for our sins, was brutalized, but he didn't remain on the cross, and because of Resurrection Sunday, we have a hope. He's a living Lord. He's somebody that we can communicate with, we can talk to, we can pray with, we can walk with each and every day through his Spirit, and we can be guided and led, and it's an exciting time to be alive, and I'm excited that you're tuned in today. I don't know if you're listening to one of our 21 frequencies, but we dedicate ourselves, our ministry, to educate, edify, and evangelize, and today we're going to continue our study that began last week as we laid some groundwork about the Lord's Prayer and some of the disciplines. Some of the things that maybe you take for granted or are assumptions that you haven't followed up on. But last week, Pastor Mark and our room of friends talked about the importance of reaching the needy, assisting them in various ways, and about praying and fasting and different ways that we can connect with God as we continue in the series on the Lord's Prayer. But today, an evangelist, a friend from Decatur, David, shared the opening words that we're going to look at word by word, sentence by sentence in the coming days, but appreciate David and Kathy coming in from Decatur, and we have a physician, a doctor among us, and a number of other friends. I think we have a record turnout today. Our overflow room, Bernie, are you over there? I don't know, Bernie and Doug and some others showed up. I can't even see them, but we have a room full. I think there's 14 of us or 13 of us here around the studio mics, and then in our overflow room, we have lots of treats, so we appreciate how God unites us as kind of a small group to do this Friday program, and hopefully as we enter into a discussion and Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church facilitates our discussion, we all get excited about the Lord's Prayer.
You know, Mark, I am really honored today to be able to just talk a little bit about prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer for the next several weeks as we come together and really look at how the Lord taught us how to pray. This thing that we call the Lord's Prayer is really his instruction on prayer. Corrie Ten Boom kind of coined the phrase that we should make an appointment with God. And I believe that in America today especially, that prayer is this neglected great tool of God that he has for us to make a difference in the world. And people wonder why things are happening or not happening in their lives, and it feeds right back to what their prayer life looks like. I remember reading Billy Graham a number of years ago when he was an older man. He was interviewed. And they asked him, if you could do anything differently in life, if you could roll back and do anything differently in life, what would it be? And his statement was, I would pray more. Mm-hmm. I would spend more time in prayer. So we're looking at what we call the Lord's Prayer, these first words, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to look at that a little bit today and maybe even next week. But I want to ask those who are listening, have you ever wondered why you have to pray? God already knows everything. He already knows what your needs are. And yet Jesus tells us that we should still pray. Now, there'll be people who will listen to this who will really disagree with the statement I'm about to make. God is sovereign. He's over all things. But in God's sovereignty, He has given us limited authority. So I have limited authority over my body. My body is getting older every day, no matter what I say to it, no matter what I do to it. But I can do things to my body that will make it worse, or I can do things to make me healthier. I have some limited authority. I have limited authority over my family. I married a godly woman. If I'd have married an ungodly woman, that would have really brought disruption into my family, because it would have robbed the joint authority that we have together. But because my wife is a godly woman, we have seen the fruit of that relationship. Our relationship is deeper now than it was when we began. We've watched our kids grow up to love and serve God. We've had so many blessings of God because, as God is sovereign, we've invited His sovereign will to come into our lives by prayer. So prayer is this exercising of this authority that we have to come before God and ask for His authority to work in our lives.
Isn't it also, I think your question, like, why do we pray? It's so we acknowledge, or we're humbled, or we recognize our need. And so we go to Father God, Almighty God, seeking Him because He can fulfill that need. It's like the little child comes and says, Daddy, I need something. The dad delights in the fact that the child recognizes that.
Prayer is an appeal to God's authority. Prayer, as you said, is an act of humility. Hey, God, I need some help here. I need your direction. Give me wisdom. We're told to pray for wisdom. Give me direction. Bring your will. Silence the enemy's voice in my life and in the life of my children, in the life of my world and my church. Bring your peace to bear. Prayer is an act of spiritual conflict. It's how I resist what the enemy is trying to do, and where we invite God's power into it, into the situations of our life. Prayer is an act of relationship. It's where I come to Him. I am fed by His Spirit and strengthened in His Spirit. Prayer is an act, as we said a moment ago, it's an act of seeking wisdom. God, I don't know what to do here. Show me what to do. Teach me how to act. Prayer is a place where I open my heart and my mind to God's will. I open my heart and mind to that. I don't come to God telling Him, this is what I want. I come to God saying, I want what you want. I think I know what I want, but I can be wrong.
Yeah, and sometimes we do go to God with what we want, and it's wrong, and He won't give it to us.
I sure hope so. Yeah. I sure hope we don't change God's mind. He gives us what we don't need.
Yeah.
I hope He says no sometimes. Yeah. God's no's are really important. Mm. Sometimes I have to get God's no to get to God's will. Mm. And so I've got to trust Him in all of those things. If in all of that you still struggle, I would just tell you, we pray because God tells us to.
Hmm.
We're supposed to do it.
And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see one point where Jesus Himself makes a prayer that He knows the answer is no to, but He's expressing how distraught He is at the agony that He's about to go through. And so if there's any other way, take this cup from me, knowing that there is no other way.
And Mark, isn't that kind of wonderful how we can approach God with our emotions, with our concerns, with our doubts, when we're weak, when we don't have it all together, that He's approachable and hears our prayers?
You read through the Psalms and you hear every kind of prayer that you'd ever pray. From the passion of your heart, you read Jesus' prayers. I would say this, Mark. People who don't pray, you will miss victories that you should have had because of your failure to obey Jesus and to pray. You will miss wisdom you were supposed to get because you failed to seek God for that wisdom. You will struggle with the enemy in places where you need God to overcome the enemy. You can overcome the enemy in your life, in your family's life, in this world. I believe the biggest problem that we have in America today is not what Congress is doing, even though they're a mess sometimes. It's not what our president's doing, even though you may have great concerns about what he's doing. I believe our biggest problem in America today is the church's lack of prayer. If we pray, God will answer. And we need to be a people of prayer.
I'm amazed at just the first two words in the prayer, Our Father. It's just the fact that Father represents fatherly love as it should be, not as in the world as it is today, but knowing that God loves us, the first word, meaning all of us as a community, all of us as a group. He's not shunning any of us. We all have an opportunity to go before him and his throne. That is awesome.
Stan, that's right on it. Jesus is teaching us, how do we approach God? What does he want our mindset to be when we come before him? Now, the audience he was talking to, they understood authority. They understood if they were going to go before Caesar, they better go with a certain amount of respect. Yes. They better go with a certain amount of honor. They better dress right. They better talk the right way. They better do all the right things. So Jesus could have started this prayer this way. He could have said, this is the way you should pray. Oh, awesome one. He could have said, you pray this way, great creator of all things. He could have said, approach God like all powerful one. He could have said, here's the way you start your prayer, great and mighty Lord. He could have said, approach him this way, all knowing one. Mm-hmm. He could have given all those instructions. They would have all been true. He is the all-knowing one. He is the great and mighty one. Yes. But he gave them this instruction, come before God this way, our Father, our Father. And that's an important part of us understanding how we approach God.
And isn't that Father an intimate term, like a daddy, like a close term?
Yeah, I think we have to be careful with that. I want to just stop for just a second and say, I had a pretty naive idea about fathers when I was a boy. My dad was great. If I was in the back seat of the car and we were driving through an ice storm, I could sleep in the back seat of the car. Dad's got it. I had whole confidence in him. I would sleep at night no matter what was going on in the house because my dad was there. I had confidence in him. No fear, no worries. Walk down a dark street at night, Dad was there. I had confidence in him. And so I walked in that kind of a naive look at who dads are. It wasn't until I was in junior high that I began to realize that everybody didn't see their dad the way I saw my dad. I began to hear other students in the school and around me, friends of mine, talk very differently about their fathers than I talked about my father. And I felt about my father. I was shocked. There were kids who didn't like their dads. There were kids who thought their dads were mean and unkind. There were dads who are absent. I didn't know it then, but fathers are called to be in the nature of God. We're supposed to be like him in our homes and the way we lead our homes. But there's a breakdown of that in America, and it's impacting even the church today because there's been such a breakdown of how we see fathers. So, yes, it says Abba, Father. That's like dad, or some would say daddy. I would be careful with that. Dads are called to be loving. We're called to be caring. Dads are called to be providing, protecting, supplying, teaching, consistent, dependable. They're called to be somebody worthy of honor. I began to see that not everybody had that in their life. Jesus was pointing to the high ideal of what a father is. So I would ask everybody listening, what's your concept of a father? I've known people, maybe you, who struggle with that concept. So here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to flip the script. Instead of struggling with God because of the failures of a man.
That's where we indict God the Father according to how we see our earthly father.
Mm-hmm. That we flip that script and we celebrate that we have a heavenly Father who tells us he's our protector, who tells us he's our guide, who tells us he's our provider, who tells us he's our refuge, who tells us he's our strength. A Father who tells us that he loves us and he will keep his promises to us. A God, a Father who is present, and we can talk to him, so much so that he sent his Son to be the perfect example of his nature to us so we can know him. And his Son came to die for us so that we could be restored to him.
I like what Stan had, and I totally agree. Even that first word, our Father, as we'll go through this in the weeks ahead, you know, give us, lead us, deliver us. the Hebrew mindset, and I always love to share this with people. We in America oftentimes are very self-focused, or it's about me or my job or my career or my health issue. But this R, and it's reoccurring throughout this prayer, the Hebrew mindset was always more communal. Lord, I need a job, but there are a lot of other people that need jobs too. So it's kind of implied, and we talked about this a little bit last week, of some of the assumptions, but the Jewish mindset would have always included others. It was never just to pray about yourself. It was to pray about those that have health issues, those that need resources or help or assistance. And I also love the fact that it's our Father. It's just not my Father. Yeah. I have to remember God loves all mankind, wants all to come to know Him. And so when we pray our Father, we have That's to good. Include all the other people around us, those that have different political views or lifestyles or differences in opinion. Ultimately, God wants all to come to know Him, and so it kind of humbles me right away. It's not just me and God, it's everyone in God, or me wanting to have everyone connect with God.
That's true, Mark, and it's a good thought. In the culture of the day, Father, the word that's used here, Abba, was a common word, but in the culture of the day, it was also a word of respect. I mean, think about this. The first commandment with promise is what? Honor your father and your mother. That was embedded in the culture. That was embedded in things. I hear young kids talk to their moms and dads in very disrespectful ways. I don't know about anybody else in this room, but my life would have gotten very, very bad very, very quickly if I would have talked to my dad the way some people talk to their dads today. There was an expectation that he was dad, he was the father, and I was supposed to treat him with respect. Jesus brings that to bear. We kind of cut this short. Jesus goes on to say, hallowed be thy name. Now, if you have one of these Bibles on your phone where you can look up many, many different versions, some of those versions will say, our Father which art in heaven, may your will be done on the earth. May your will come about. May your purpose unfold. They word that differently because this hallowing is a call to come before Him with respect.
Like He's reverence?
Reverence. Holy, consecrated, sacred, revered. It's not a casual thing Jesus is saying. He said you can approach Him like dad, but revere Him as God. Revere Him as the Creator who made you. Approach Him with awe. Come before Him with a sense of awe that there's nothing too big for Him. And here's the amazing thing, there's nothing too small for Him. My smallest concerns, He's concerned about. The greatest needs, He's big enough to take care of.
Yeah, because even those greatest needs, the biggest things we can imagine, are nothing to Him. So the size is never a factor with Him.
No, it's none of our big stuff is going to blow His mind. None of it surprises Him. None of it shocks Him. You don't come before God and God go, wow, I never thought of that. He knows all of it. But it also, I'm amazed that the smallest things, my smallest concerns, He's aware of those as well. He's an all-knowing God. So we come before Him, we fall on our knees, and we say, holy, it is good to do that in our life.
Now we just have a minute or two left, but I don't even think we'll get through this first verse, chapter 6, verse 9. But our Father in heaven, for somebody maybe unfamiliar with the concept of heaven and hell, maybe they're driving to work and they've landed on one of our frequencies and they're like, they have a misconception of who Father is because of abuse or a bad example of a father. Or sometimes, you know, when you witness in the inner city, well, for that matter, anywhere, people don't know who their father is. But right. Who's this Father in heaven, and why do you think Jesus emphasizes our Father in heaven?
Well, I think he's telling us, you know, where God is at and reminding us that this earth is a temporary place. This earth is not... You know, it's a fallen world right now. God's going to fix it someday, but it is a temporary place. People like to say when their loved ones die, they're in a better place. Mm-hmm. We better understand how Jesus teaches us how you get to that better place. I don't get to it just because I think it's there. He's making me aware of it, that it is there, that there is this utopia of a place where we walk in unity with God and where our spirits are healed and where we are walking as a holy people. And so he's pointing out that's where the manifest presence of God is at. But guess what? God's presence is everywhere. He's in this room today. He's wherever you're at, driving in a car, listening in your home. God is there. He's not absent from you. He's close. I don't have to cry out louder for him to hear me. I don't have to beat any drum to get his attention. He's close to me. He's close to you today. And if you'll begin to talk to him, it won't be long until you'll begin to hear him talk to you.
Yeah, and also it's Jesus identifying and helping us all recognize there is a reality, that there is a heaven, there is a place. And after last Sunday's Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. He abides in heaven. There is a future for all of us that follow Jesus and can spend eternity in heaven where there's no suffering and heartache and pain. And so it is a reality, listening friend. There is a heaven, but there's also a hell. And we would hope and we would pray that as you come near to God and he'll come near to you, as it says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. If you're struggling today and you are without hope because you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior will make the difference on where you'll spend eternity. And I hope you can continue to join us on Fridays. And for that matter, tune in all day long as we have God-honoring music and teaching that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. But heaven is a reality and so is hell. And we just hope that all that tune in today and that always tune in will recognize God loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And part of that purpose is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, or maybe you're thinking of a friend that needs to hear today's message, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and they can listen to this program, or for that matter, I think 13 or 14 years worth of programs that we hope will draw them to Jesus. So encourage them to tune in. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mark Johnson and a room of friends, a big room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.